AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's the lighter side of genocide because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go mad too. We have a guest for you today, ladies and gentlemen, and the phone lines are now open. The number to call in is 402-237-2525. That is 402-237-2525, the number to call in. We have the lines open. My guest name is Mike Lieberman from UrbanOrganicGardener.com, I believe. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. Glad to be here.
Can you give us a bit of a background about yourself, like who you really are and what got you into urban organic gardening? And what exactly is it?
Okay, a little bit of background about myself. Originally from Brooklyn, New York. I started out, just kind of growing up, normal kid, streets of Brooklyn. By the time I got to my mid-20s or so, I just started, as I started to get older, started to think about things a little bit differently. All through my teenage years, I had a little bit of foot pain, just kind of problems. So as I was growing older, I wanted to see, what was going on, if there's any, potential for problems in the future. So I went to the doctor, and he just kind of wanted to prescribe me, medication and surgery and all this stuff, and I just really wasn't having that, because for some reason, I was never, it just didn't seem like the solution. So I started to, look and research into, other alternative methods of, of helping out. Came across this this book by Dr. John Sarno called The Divided Mind, and that kind of helped me. It was like a whole psychosomatic thing, and kind of helped me to cure myself of, almost 15 years of chronic foot pain to the point of where I couldn't even walk barefoot in my own apartment anymore because it was too much pain. So that kind of got me thinking differently about just what we're told and the messages that we're told about health and food and just life in general. So that just kind of started me down, just opened up a whole new world for me. And then I just started down the path in terms of just thinking about my food, the food that I was eating and how that was affecting my health. I was kind of eating what I thought was relatively healthy at the time, traditional, standard American diet, as some would call it. Not really much soda or fast food, but still kind of, a bunch of processed foods. I was getting sick a lot. So again, I went to the doctor and he just wanted to give me medications and, that same song and dance. So I just started looking to alternatives and just started becoming more aware of our food and our food choices and what happens to our food in this food system. And it just kind of started to lead me down, this whole other path. And then a few years, started experimenting with different, styles of eating and just learning more about our food system and, how food truly is medicine. And, that's what nourishes us. So then that eventually led me to, in some roundabout way, starting to grow my own food. About 2.5 years ago, I was living in Manhattan in New York City. And I just started look around, become a little bit more aware of what was going on. I understand, I'm in a supermarket and I'm buying my organic produce and I think, okay, this is organic, this is meat, this is great, but all that. And I'm looking at the labels and it's from Chile, it's from Argentina, it's from all over the place. Places, it's not even like it was coming from across the country, it was coming from almost, the other side of the world. So then I just started to think about, what can I do? That's how I kind of started to grow my own food. I started off, all I had, like I said, I was living in New York City where you barely have a place to sleep in your apartment, but I did have a little small fire escape, and on that fire escape, I started to grow, my own organic vegetables. I was able to grow on a small 2x3 fire escape. I was able to grow, a bunch of different kinds of lettuces, some cherry tomatoes, some herbs, so that's how...
You turned a fire escape into a toxic chemical escape.
Exactly. So I turned a fire escape interior into my little own organic garden.
Well, you know, that's what should be done in urban areas, I think, all of them, because we've got so much space that's just not being used for anything. And who exactly in their right mind would, like, go up to a fire escape or any description of outdoor furnishing and say, oh, that looks way worse with edible food growing all over it. That's really crap. I mean, you could understand it perhaps if there were, like, weeds or something really nasty growing over there, like something with prickles and what have you. But if it's food, like, good food, who the hell's going to complain?
Right, exactly. And, you know, living in New York City, there's a lot worse things that people are growing under fire escapes.
apparently, you know, you could have a few homeless people growing out of the fire escapes at some point.
Actually, what I've learned is, you know, on the concrete, on the sidewalk, there's those little gums, those little, you know, stains of gum that people, you know, on the sidewalk. What I've come to the conclusion, when you water those, it turns into homeless people.
Yeah, I have always suspected that myself.
Because I came to the conclusion because when I was, you know, always walking around the city, you'd always see people, for some reason, you'd always see, like, come the springtime, you'd see people watering the sidewalk, and I never knew why people were watering the sidewalk. And sure enough, a few weeks later, it all made sense to me.
I know, it reminds me of that scene from Home Alone where the big brother's telling Macaulay Culkin about the evil guy who, like, walks around with the salt barrel and that kind of stuff, salting the sidewalks and salting the bodies and turning them to mummies, you know? It makes sense.
Absolutely.
And, which comes to the point that the boogeyman really is on your front door. They're the people that deliver you your dominoes, you know? That's the real boogeyman you've got to be afraid of now, is people who essentially make incredibly toxic food incredibly easily available and very cheap.
Right. Yeah, that's the challenge with this, is making some is, and this is what I've been attempting to do with this, you know, in these 2.5 years that I've had this site, is making it easy and making it accessible to people. Because when I first became interested in this and I started looking, most of the information on it out there in 2009, it was all geared towards homeowners and geared towards people that have a lot of land, and it was geared towards an older female demographic, because that's what she was interested in this, and there's nothing wrong with that. So when I was looking for the information, I couldn't find anything that I could relate to and that fit my situation. So I know I'm not the only one that's living in a city and has very little space and not, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars to spend on this. So, you know, so I started to, you know, kind of hack together and DIY a bunch of things that I saw. And now these containers that, you know, that retail for anywhere between $50 and $100, I'm making them for less than $5, less than $3. And that makes it much more accessible to people. Lowers the price, you know, lowers the barrier to entry, because someone who's kind of interested, they're not going to drop $50. They're not going to drop $100 on a container. But you know what? $3, $5 spent, you know, and, you know, 10, you know, and 15, 20 minutes to put it together, people will likely do that because it's something that they can do.
Yep. Well, it's going to be having to be not just something you do as an extra or an add-on. Soon, I believe it's going to become an absolute necessity.
And that's one of the things that I'm constantly, you know, in having discussions with people, you know, that's what I say. It's, we've lost our connection with food, and we've lost it very, very quickly. You know, it wasn't, you know, in the last, what, 100, 200 years, the whole process, everything involved with food, from the planting to the taking care of, to the harvesting, to the preparing, to the sharing, all of that, we don't do that anymore. We've skipped right to the eating part. We don't even enjoy the eating part. We do it on, you know, in a car on the way from, you know, point A to point B, and we don't even
we do it while we're watching TV.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so it's like you said, like just the, as humans, this is what we've done for hundreds and thousands of years, is grow our own food. Now we have to, you know, which is an essential skill. Now we have to relearn that. You know, we have to relearn that, which is, you know, it's still, like you said, it's an essential skill, because it's because it's that's what we need to survive. Ultimately,
it's what we've needed the whole time, right? And I think that there are certain people who have an inordinate amount of influence in this world who want to make sure that that doesn't happen. Hey, here's some self-sufficient people that aren't a source of revenue for me because they're able to take care of themselves. Let's destroy their ability to do that.
Yeah. Pretty much. And let's make it as convenient and easy as possible. So
to destroy themselves.
Yeah, for a profit. But it's like, yes, there's a doom and gloom, and yes, I believe, that's what's going on. But that's but that's one of the reasons why I have the site and I maintain the site, is to inspire and empower people, to show them that, this is possible. You can do it. And I fully believe that if every person were to grow just one thing, one herb in their windowsill, that would make a huge shift and a huge difference. Everyone doesn't have to have a huge garden. Everyone doesn't have to grow all their food. But if everyone were to grow one thing, I think that it would make a huge shift, not only in the spiritual sense, but that's X amount of dollars out of the pockets of these corporations. That's excellent, and it's actually doing something. So that it's one of those things that becomes a, for lack of a better word, like a contagious type thing, because if you as humans, we love to brag and show off what we've done. So if you're just growing some parsley and you put it in your salad or whatever meal you make, and then you serve it to friends, you're gonna be telling everyone, yeah, I grew that, that parsley, now I grew it, that's mine, I grew that. You're gonna be proud of it. And then it's just gonna, it's gonna continue, and it's gonna, and it's gonna, and you're gonna start growing more, and that starts taking care of your health and those around you, and then those around you will start seeing it, and then they'll start doing it. It's a whole trickle down effect.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of like taking a leak on the ground has a trickle down effect because it electrically connects you with the earth.
Exactly.
Which feel at home. This is the problem. Public urination is illegal now. It's so unfortunate, man. I love taking a leak outside.
See, that gets into your garden again. Urine's a great thing to help with compost. It's great for your soil.
Yep. That basically, I made a point on a protest, is that if you want to do anything in this country that is worth doing, I can guarantee you it will soon be made illegal.
Yeah. It's... There was recently a judge in Wisconsin, actually just wrote about it on the site today. He said it's in the United States, it's not a fundamental right for people to grow and consume their own food.
So it's not a fundamental right for people to be able to have food, basically. He's just like, hey, look, if you're out of food, it's not your right to have food. We're just going to let you die on the side of the road in your tent city.
It's kind of sad. But
the sort of ruthless, callous nature of the ruling elite seems to now be permeating into every government agency.
That's the way it seems, and it's I'm starting to read more and become more aware of. As much as I don't want to believe the idea of the new world order and one world one government concept, but it's like you're saying, it's starting to permeate others. It's starting to permeate not only the states but other countries as well.
Well, as I always say, that's why they call it a new world order. Because let's take recent legislation into account, for example, in New Zealand, they're now going to be passing this food safety security bill sort of thing. And I believe they've passed a similar thing in the States, where some dude got a $5,000 fine for having an unlicensed organic garden in his backyard that he was feeding himself and his family with. And in New Zealand now, they were talking about having amendments in the bill to have bans on trading of seeds, trading of food, have a whole bunch of licensing fees, to have gardens and all of this other real crazy things. And you tell people about this and they say, well, that's just insane. And you say, yes, it is insane. But you don't then take the next step and think that if the legislation that's being passed is insane, don't you think the people that are passing the legislation are also insane? What's going on here?
I think one of the best quotes or things that I've read online in a while, someone said it would be great if politicians wore it's like the jackets or jerseys, much like soccer players or NASCAR drivers wore, because then you could tell them sponsoring them and why what's happening is going on.
I question the nature of nastiness often because, let's face it, when you look on the mainstream news, there's nothing but disaster. And if it's not disaster, it's lies. If it's not lies, it's murder. And if it's not that, it's just plain stupid crap. It doesn't matter. And therefore, you wonder how much of an effect does that have on the general population, if the only thing that they're hearing about is really negative and crappy things. So let's think about the good things. How easy is it to just suddenly start growing your own food on your friggin' fire escape? It was a piece of cake, wasn't it?
I didn't have any experience. Like I said, I was, I'm a city boy. I was born and raised in Brooklyn. It's not like I had a huge backyard. Never had a backyard. So I was able to do it. I didn't study. I didn't get any fancy certificate. I attempted to read a couple of books, but you know what? A lot of gardening books that I was reading, they weren't that exciting. So I was like, you know what? What did people do hundreds of years ago? They didn't Google it. They didn't go to the library. They threw some seeds in the ground. In this case, my case, a container. Watered it, and see what happens. And I've just been learning since. So it's simple.
It's easy. Have you noticed that all the most complicated problems that exist have the most simple solutions? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest from the UrbanOrganicGardener.com is Mike Lieberman.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? I'm flying a JFK. My heart goes boom, boom, boom. I know that customs man. He's gonna take me to that little room. Oh, no, no.
Welcome back.
Oh, no, no.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
There's only one thing I need to know.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Mike, we've had some chatter up in the chat room here saying how fabulous this interview is going to be with the wonderful plantness and whatnot. And that's what I found is very interesting about gardeners, is they get really passionate about it, you know. They really nurture it, they keep those ideas watered, and often when a movement sprouts out of it, it's usually allowed to grow organically. Now, just before we continue on, I wanted to mention a few things we talked about over the break. Because when you mention things like the New World Order and Monsanto taking over the food supply, all these other terrible, terrifying, startling information and conspiracy, it's also important in the same breath to tell people how to cope with it. Because when you experience trauma, you won't actually forget it. So you've got to therefore learn how to deal with it, how to think positively about it, how to go on, move on, cope. Do whatever you got to do. Just make sure that you don't have that whole fear hanging over you. Fear stops you from thinking. And that's exactly what the nasty scumbaggery filth who run the New World Order want. Mike Lieberman, welcome back to the program. Any choice words to add?
Yeah, and I think the most powerful and empowering thing that each of us can do is vote. And when I say vote, I don't mean go into the booth or whatever, you know, that kind of vote. I say every time we make a purchase or don't make a purchase, that's voting. So I always like to say in America, George Washington is still the most powerful man in this country. So wherever he goes, people are going to follow. So as scary, like you said, as scary and as terrifying as all this may be, the power is still ultimately in our hands. It's not in our hands, you know, in this country once every 4 years or once every 8 years when we vote. It's every time we go to a register or don't go to a register and buy something. So just knowing that and using that power, that is very, very powerful.
The power to say no is far stronger than the power to say, yes, okay, I'll go along with it. The power to resist is far more powerful than the power to submit. Why exactly do people favor convenience over struggle? Why do they avoid conflict? Why do they try and keep themselves uninvolved with what happens in their own country, in their own environment, and in most cases, their own bodies? Have we lost our entire sense of responsibility as a human race here?
I think one of the reasons why, especially in this country, is we're so overworked, we're so overstressed, we're getting hit up with so much that when it comes time to make those decisions or it gets time to fight that, we're just burnt. So it's easier to, going to the example that you mentioned in the first segment, it's easier to just submit and say, I'm going to get Domino's, or just submit and do something like that, because we're so exhausted with all of the other things, which ultimately is what they are, things in our lives.
The irony is, though, if we were growing and eating good food in the first place, we wouldn't be so tired as to submit.
That's true. The one thing I always say is, we all have 24 hours in a day. It's up to us how we allocate each of those hours. So it comes down to our own priorities, and it comes down to how we want to dedicate that time. And I think one of the best examples is, because when it comes to growing your own food, a lot of people say, I don't have the time to do it. Time is definitely a big reason. But in the beginning of the year, I saw Michael Pollan and Eric Schlosser talk it was like a roundtable type discussion. And I believe it was Michael Pollan who said, the average American spends 2 hours a day on the internet. That sounds like, okay, that's fine. The average, 10, 15, 15, 20 years ago, the internet did not exist. So people obviously have found 2 hours out of their day to spend on the internet.
They probably siphoned it out of the 8 hours of TV they watch.
Right, but exactly. Just so they reprioritized what was important to them. So obviously the internet is important to them. So something like food, and again, it's not just gardening, it's not just growing food. Growing food touches on so many different aspects of one's life. It touches on the health aspect. It touches on the environmental aspect. It touches on the social aspect. It touches on political aspect. It touches on so many different aspects of our lives that it's not just, I'm going to grow food, it's a hobby. It's so much more than that.
Can you think to yourself why people have been trained to forget about the importance of food? Like, take doctors, for example. The medical profession has to take a Hippocratic Oath that came from Hippocrates, who's basically the father of modern allopathic medicine back in Greece, I believe. And here's a great quote, let food be thy medicine and let medicine be thy food. Guess how much training medical doctors do in nutrition? Virtually none.
Yeah, I was just saying, I think it's less than 5%. I know it's very, very little.
No, it's something like less than 5% of medical schools in the United States teach nutrition at all. In New Zealand, allegedly, maybe out of the 2 years or 3 years or something that it takes to qualify as a nutritionist or whatever, a medical doctor will get maybe 1 or 2 weeks of it, if that. So what we're talking about here is the abandonment of healthcare and the boarding of the Titanic, which is pharmaceutical drugs. Because ultimately, there is an iceberg dead ahead, and you'll probably wind up jumping over the side because of a suicidal side effect.
They all, you know, if you look at a lot of the things and a lot of what we're told when it comes to food and health and nutrition, it all winds up tying back to, you know, big pharma and big agriculture. You look at a lot of the studies that are put out there, the certifications, the schooling. You look at a lot of that, and a lot of the funding, you know, that's where the money's coming from. So that's the message that's getting put out there. And it's, and it winds up being a rich get richer type situation.
Now, thinking about big plans here, urbanorganicgardener.com. Is it gardening or gardener?
It's urbanorganicgardener.com.
Gardener. We have so much pollution, toxins, things of that nature in our urban environments nowadays. Have you noticed any difference, really, in your own personal health just by growing your own food and eating your own food, even to a small extent? I mean, how much percentage of your diet actually consists of things that you grow yourself?
I'm dealing with such a small space. It's, you know, not a huge percentage, but it is a little bit. Every morning, I probably get most, you know, part of my breakfast from my balcony right now. You know, I have some couple of Swiss chard containers that I use for my green smoothie every morning. So, you know, so it's definitely a small amount. But again, it's not necessary. Yes, there is the health aspect, because I know what's in the soil. I know what I've used to take care of it. Yes, there are those external factors, like you mentioned. Like, I live in LA, which is a pretty polluted city. They recently repaved the street. One of my cross streets. So there's all the dirt and all the toxins that were kicked up into the air. They're doing construction across the street on a new building. So, but those are things that I can't control those. So like we're saying, but I'm doing something, as opposed to like, oh, there's all this stuff going on, I can't do anything because it's going to be hard. I'm doing something, and I'm controlling what I can, and I'm happy with that, and I'm fine with that. But like I said, it's that health aspect, but it's also showing other people that it can be done. So it's that trickle down effect that we were talking about before. It's the I'm now voting with my dollar type effect too, because that chard or that mint that I'm using on my balcony, I'm not buying that from a major corporation or one of these big companies that we're talking about. So now I'm taking money out of their pockets as well. So that's, you know, that's a vote, and that's a political and a social stance as well. So like I said, you know, there are many aspects of it, you know, that are being touched. But also, like I mentioned, I can't control every single aspect. We don't live, unfortunately, but you know, the reality of it is that we don't live in bubbles. There are many external factors going on around all of us that we can't control. What we should, you know, what the main concerns, I believe, are the ones that we can control. The food we're putting into our body, where we're getting it from, the clothes that we're wearing, you know, those type of decisions we have control over. And those are the ones that we should be concerned about.
Yeah, well, there's a good idea. We talked about prioritizing. Now, a lot of people in the conspiracy theory movement prioritize worrying about stuff that they can't do nothing about. Like, for example, I was talking to somebody last night about aliens, and he says, you know, Vinny, do you think aliens exist? And I say, well, if they do exist, it doesn't really make much of a difference, really, does it? Because even if people are getting abducted all the time, even if there's reptilians that are shape-shifting and that are our government and what have you, I'm still here, sitting in my car, on my street. What am I actually being affected by? Nothing. So therefore, it's actually all in your head, regardless of whether it's real or not. The difference is how you think about it, how you react to it. If it's actually right there in front of you, there's an alien right there in front of me, oh my God, then it really does affect you. But to worry and to feel afraid of something that ain't actually there in front of you is a very, very silly thing to do. And this is what I'm talking about when I talk about trying to see the positive sides of things as well as the terrifying side simultaneously. Because although there's a lot of things outside of your control, don't focus on the things that are outside of your control because you just drive yourself crazy. Focus the things that you can control. Am I going to get up at noon or am I going to get up at 6 a.m. and do a bit of gardening or what have you? Am I going to write to my congressman today and tell him that he's a freaking scumbag? How best to use my time to accomplish my goals, because this is my life to do with what I wish. That's what being an individualist is sort of about, I think, is that the individual is always the wild card. It's never the big group of people that makes a huge difference. It's the small groups of dedicated individuals that make the difference, and everybody else is pretty much just along for the ride, like a passive observer at a football game, if you will.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And to touch on the health aspect of that again, when you're talking about fear and getting scared and worried and concerned, those thoughts that you have are just as toxic as eating a Domino's pizza or consuming poor quality air. So if you're concerned about health and you have all these fear and all this stress, that's not helping. That's not helping your overall health either.
Yeah. Things that are overall bad for you aren't something you should spend an awful lot of time on, okay? But have you noticed that people are very unconscious when it comes to daily life nowadays? Like, they don't know what it is that they're doing for the large part. People walk around in a suit, and what's around your neck on a suit?
Tie.
Close.
A collar.
Yeah. Okay, so you're walking around, you're doing business, and you're wearing a collar around your neck. What have you got around your wrists?
Cuffs.
Yeah. So you're walking around wearing a collar around your neck and cuffs around your wrists. Think about the symbolism of that. And everybody's wearing them, aren't they? Who wears collars and cuffs all the time?
Inmates,
slaves, people who are trapped, basically. So that's what I mean about how people don't realize what they're actually doing. Their real symbolism. How do you make life itself seem more visceral? And it's simply understanding the things that are in your daily environment for what they actually are, not what you're told they are. Because if you can't think for yourself, you're screwed. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR.
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them. Your life as it has been is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Check out the articles at GorillaMedia.co.nz, and also the great thing, I really want to advise people to go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and listen to the archive of the show with Lindsay Williams delivering a prophetic message passed straight down through the mouths of the elite that 2012 will be the year that the elite have finally decided and confirmed that they will collapse the world's economy and they will snaffle up all assets that are not secured. So if you own things and you have a mortgage on them, for example, you need to pay those off as soon as you can, because if you're top heavy on a mortgage, when they call in the loans, and I suspect that there's a stipulation in mortgage agreements that if they just decide that they're going to call in the loan, you have to pay up instantly, otherwise you're screwed. That's probably what they're going to do. And then the banks, private banking scum cartels will own all the farmland. Lindsay also advises that those of you who already have farmland, if it is freehold, you need at least 3 years' worth of taxes available in gold and silver to pay off. Otherwise, the government's going to take your farm as well. This is the 2012 will be the year that the New World Order will come into view, and it will be proposed as a great fireball of incredible crisis and scary scumbaggery. So be prepared, but above all, do not be afraid, because fear stops you from thinking, and that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to stop thinking. They want you to panic as opposed to just doing the right thing, which is to be prepared. And if the worst case scenario is that you've wound up paying off a lot of debt, there's nothing wrong with that. My guest here is Mike Lieberman from UrbanOrganicGardener.com. Now, when we talk about the urban environments, we've got a whole lot of videos coming out, particularly out of the UK, or as I call it, the Uber Kingdom, where they are planting, basically, food supermarkets on the top of supermarkets, on the top of apartment buildings. There is an awful lot of space that's just basically not being used. And what you got to lose by grabbing a couple of recycling bins or what have you, plastic tubs, containers, better than sending them to a landfill, don't you think? Putting them on top of your roof and growing something out of it. What's wrong with that? Sounds a pretty good idea, doesn't it? After all, because food prices are skyrocketing, more than a ship bound for Earth full of transformers, it's probably a smart idea too, as well as something that's going to be entirely necessary, in my opinion. During the last Great Depression, there were 10 million people in the United States that starved to death. At a time in which the US government was giving $1 trillion worth of aid to Adolf Hitler so he could build up the frickin' Luftwaffe and goodness knows what other military machines. Also, incidentally, during that time, 10% of people lived in cities and weren't able to grow their own food. This is a time when 90% of people lived in rural areas and were growing their own food. 10 million still starved to death. Today, it is the opposite. We have 90% of people living in cities not growing food, and 10% of people living in the rural areas growing them. What's going to happen when they drop the hammer? What's going to happen when the food shelves are empty? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? How are you going to feed yourself and your family? If you've got stored food or what have you, some people might target you and come and steal it. After all, the worst enemy that you could ever have in a food crisis is a father with hungry kids. What do you think about that all, Mike? The whole gloom and doom scenario.
There was an article, I forgot when, maybe within the last year, I saw that in New York City, if there was a major, there was another huge terrorist attack, or if there was a there was a natural disaster, that all of the supermarket shelves would be wiped out in something was like less than 3 days. I think it was less than a day, but that's even less than 3 days, all the supermarket shelves would be wiped out because there'd be no way to get, you know, the transport to get the food, which is another reason why urban, you know, being able to just having the knowledge in terms of even how to even start growing your own food is essential. And then taking it, you know, not only, you know, something small scale like a balcony or a fire escape, and taking it to that next level, like you said, something like rooftops, which I think is, you know, when you fly over pretty much any, not even major city, any city in general, when you fly over, what do you see? You see the tops of buildings. What's on top of those buildings? Absolutely nothing.
those are the perfect spots as long as they're, I think the one thing is just kind of reinforcement in terms of how much weight it can hold, but those are the perfect spots to be able to utilize in the manner that you said to grow your, to start growing some food for the local community, whether it's, the community supported agriculture, or whether it's for restaurants or supermarkets, whatever it may be. I think that's a great use of space that is just otherwise just totally and completely unused.
Yeah. Urban co-ops and swap meets and whatnot. Of course, legislation might be passed to prevent that kind of thing. And this is the problem. It's a multifaceted problem. So there's so many inputs and outputs that it's actually difficult to come up with like a silver bullet. In fact, I scarcely doubt there is one. Like, people ask me, what are you doing? And I say, well, anything and everything. But primarily, trying to make some fun out of the terrible situation and the stupidity of tyranny. More or less, you've got to have some laughs at their expense because, let's face facts here, nobody's got a bigger expense account than the New World Order.
Exactly. I think that, that's the one thing, that you keep saying, and I think that's important. Like, yes, all this stuff's going on. You have to be conscious. You have to raise awareness. You have to understand what's going on. But, you got to do what you can within the constraints, within what's reasonable for you. And then you just got to have fun with it. You can't, it can't be all doom and gloom because life is way too short for any of that.
So let's talk about your community here. I mean, how many people in your general area in LA right now are you actually linking up with and getting to grow their own food? Or is it just kind of internet-based and you've got people all over the world doing stuff?
It's mostly internet-based. I'm starting to do a little bit more. I've only been in LA a little over a year now, so I'm still kind of getting a little bit of a network here. I'm very much a think global, act local kind of person. So, with that being said, going to be, going to have a booth at my local farmer's market in the next few months, to show people, cause they have a lot of stuff for people, like you mentioned before, homeowners and people who have a lot of land and a lot of space, but, living in a city, there are a lot of people that are apartment dwellers like myself that don't have that land and space that, aren't sure what they can do, if they can do anything at all.
Yeah. Is it a New World Order warning system that's going off in the background there?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, you're in a construction zone at the moment, right?
Yeah, like I said, across the street, they're throwing up a new building.
Have you noticed how everything seems to get developed and yet it also gets devolved at the same time?
The funny thing is, It was a big empty space across a big empty lot across the way. Like I said, I've only been here a little over a year now, and that lot was and I kept thinking that lot would be perfect for a community garden, or that'd be a perfect place to grow up. It was a huge lot, almost like a quarter of a block, and then sure enough, in the last few months, they just decided to throw up another huge apartment building.
That must be Agenda 21 then, pack them and stack them. Have they got railway lines near there?
No. The public transportation in LA is not that sophisticated.
Okay, well, let's hope not, because there's a big plan to get everybody off of the rural areas and put them in little pack them and stack them apartment buildings along railway lines and restrict everybody's travel and that kind of thing. And then I don't think they'll allow you to grow even something on your windowsill. They'll say, oh, that's illegal under the Codex Alimentarius International UN Treaty, and it's not approved by government. So you're a very naughty person. You're life imprisonment for a cabbage.
I laugh, because like we said earlier, something like that, very, very well possible, but all you can do is laugh at something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be an entire fraternity, this whole subculture of cabbage-growing criminals that have formed like this kind of cabbage cartel. That'd be great. I think. You know, underground cabbage cartel. Because the cabbages do... oh, no, they don't grow underground, do they? Because, oh, well, who knows? There might be some way of hiding the fact that you're trying to grow some vegetables so you don't starve to death in a government bread line. Maybe that would be nice. You know? Maybe you could have some cabbage water. Like Charlie Bucket.
That's
fantastic. And of course, he wouldn't get to go to see the chocolate factory because it'd probably be owned by some New World Order filth scumbag, and he'd have to eat like 10 tons of frickin' aspartame before they'd let you through the door. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Mike Lieberman from the UrbanOrganicGardener.com, and we'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are. We are. America.
American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My special guest today is Mike Lieberman from UrbanOrganicGardener.com. Now, I was wondering, have you seen the movie What in the World Are They Spraying?
I've not seen that one.
Do you notice many chemtrails over the sky in L.A. there?
I've seen. I haven't done much reading on chemtrails. I'm familiar with the basic concept of it, though. But, you know, every once in a while, yes, definitely seeing those flames up above, you know, with the white trails behind them.
Yeah, the white trails that don't disappear and just kind of crisscross all over the sky like a frickin' checkerboard.
Yes. Again, I'm familiar with them. I haven't done that much reading on it. It's kind of, you know, basic knowledge of them.
Okay, well, let me bring you up to speed. What in the World Are They Spraying? You probably need to watch that. I'll send you the link after the show. And essentially what they're doing is they're spraying aluminium and barium and strontium and lots of nasty chemicals all over the place, which are very, very bad for the soil. And they've had testing done on the soil where it's like astronomical, like 30,000 times the normal amount of aluminium, or aluminum as the Americans call it, in the soil, which makes it ridiculously hard for plants to grow. And this is even happening in Hawaii. And now they're talking about they won't be able to grow their own food at all, because the only crops that can grow under those environments are Monsanto's patented aluminium-resistant crops. So what's going to happen in a world where Monsanto, probably if you had to point a finger at one of the most evil scumbaggery filth corporations that have ever existed, it'd probably be Monsanto. That's if you're trying to be reasonable and balanced about it. What do you think would happen to the world's food if Monsanto is the only one allowed to grow it and total control of the supply? And what does this mean for the average person at home? I mean, how do you get aluminium out of your soil? There's some description of electronic magnetism technique that you can look up online, apparently, and it draws all the heavy metals out of the soil so that it would be all sweet as and whatnot. But the problem is, of course, we've got all these external inputs that are completely without our control, and many people moving in very, very large, big strides to take control over food. And so it makes it far more poignant at this point in history, probably more than any other, to teach people the thing that they forgot about the immense effect that food has on your health, the immense importance of being able to produce it yourself, and more importantly, the length and methodology of those who are attempting to keep that out of the mainstream public sphere. Any words or choice phrases to add to that?
I think, you know, for those people that aren't familiar, you know, with Monsanto, when you're talking about them, I think the most basic and fundamental way that, you know, when speaking to people about them, is having, you know, what's going to happen when one company or one corporation owns the food supply, then they control who gets it, how much of it they get, how much it costs. They control every single aspect of it. So there's great, you know, there's a lot of benefit in it for them, but not much in it for us. So all of these things that you're talking about, you know, the chemtrails and the soil and the seeds being resistant to all that, you know, if, you know, connecting all those dots, are those dots really there? We don't necessarily know, but is it very much, you know, but everything's way, way too coincidental for all those dots to be, you know, to be lined up in the way that they are.
Yep. And repetition is the most important form of brainwashing, so I'm going to engage in a little bit of that right here, because we talk about how coincidence and conspiracy and the definition between them. If you're not a conspiracy theorist, you're a coincidence theorist. You theorize that everything on the planet, everywhere, at all times, happens by sheer coincidence. Now, does that sound way more insane than a conspiracy theorist saying that powerful people and groups use their power and influence to gain more power and influence?
I think it makes complete and total sense. And then, like you said, if you look at the messaging, if you look at the marketing, if you look at everything that's put out there, it's all put out there by the same people. So if they didn't have a vested interest in all of that, when it comes to pharma, when it comes to health, when it comes to all that, why do they have their hand in so many different aspects of it? Unless that is, they're just really, really great people and really care about us that much.
And of course, if anybody's ever proved themselves to care about the human race, tons. It's obviously Monsanto. I mean, they've never covered up toxic spills and chemical contagions and any of that kind of stuff before they had. No. Roundup is safe. It's perfectly safe. There's no cancer or emphysema or things associated with that. It doesn't contaminate the groundwater. It's like dish soap. That's exactly what they said about Corexit 9500 when it gets sprayed all over the freaking Gulf. And incidentally, at the same time, they're saying it's as safe as hand soap. There's a huge HazChem sticker on the side of it. Hazardous chemicals. But spray them in your water supply and it's all good. You know, because it has a transmutational process, you see. It's made out of one part death, one part happiness, and the death dissolves easily in water, and it only leaves the happiness. And they're tasty.
That's the most important part of it all. It's tasty.
Yeah. I think we should dribble some of it on our Domino's pizza. What do you think?
That's extra, of course.
Yeah. It'll be a garnish, you know, right next to the salt and the irradiated red pepper shakers, you know. Look, this is the problem that I have with food in general, right? Is it's almost impossible to find healthy food unless you grow it yourself, right? You walk into the organic store, and like you said, they've come from freaking halfway around the world. How old is that food? 4 or 5 days in the deep freeze before it gets to you? How much nutrition is left in that food?
If you're lucky, it's 4 or 5 days. You know, that's again. That's one of the things I love most about being in LA is a lot of food is grown here by small farmers. So I'd probably say 80 to 90% of the stuff that I'm buying and or eating is from the local farmers market. So it's not I'm getting it pretty much straight from the source. I ask them, I have a relationship with them. I ask them about their growing practices, whether they use sprays or chemical fertilizers and what they use. So it's just, it's pretty much coming almost straight. Not pretty much, it is coming straight from the source.
Yeah. It's like a friend. Do you know where your friend came from? No, I have no idea. I never asked him. Okay. Do you know what your friend does for a living? No, he's never told me. Okay. So, do you really know anything about your friend at all? Well, no. Well, then how is he your friend? Kind of like, do you know where your food came from? Well, no, I don't. Do you know what went into that food? What was sprayed on it? No, I don't. So you don't really know that it's even food, really? This is the insanity of it. People have lost all of their fundamental capabilities of perception. It's all been bred out of us in school. You're not being trained to think laterally or to ask questions poignantly or to critically think about things. If anything, you don't get taught critical thinking in university anymore. You get taught to be critical of people who think.
And you get
not
taught,
listen.
And you get taught to consume. taught to, you know, that's, you know, that's what we're where, you know, we're taught to be consumers.
Well, let's talk about your personal story. I mean, did you have any health problems or things of that nature before you started becoming an urban organic gardener?
I had some physical problems with my feet. I was around 6 or 7 years ago, so I was around 25 or 26. Up until that time, from the time I was a teenager, I had plantar. The doctor told me in both of my feet, I had plantar fasciitis, tarsal tunnel syndrome, and arthritis in both of my feet and ankles.
Hold on, before you go on, I just want to remind our caller on the line here. Seth, we'll come to you in a second. Sorry, continue, Mike.
No problem. So I was diagnosed with those, and again, that's what kind of got me started down this health, this path of wellness, or whatever it may be called. Because I was seeking alternative ways to heal myself, as opposed to modern Western medicine. And then also, I was getting sick a lot, just common cough, cold kind of thing. Every 3 months or so, I'd be out for a week. In terms of just being sick, I was just sick a lot in bed. And it didn't seem right because I was eating what I thought was relatively healthy. I was maintaining what I thought was a relatively healthy lifestyle, and it just wasn't, and my body wasn't responding right to it. So I started again to look into alternative methods and start looking, researching more about food and, our food choices and how, the common sense part of it, like we were just speaking about a few minutes earlier, that how food is our fuel. And, you don't think of it that way. You just think of, great, food tastes good. It puts on weight or doesn't put on weight. But, we care more, but we care more about the gas that we put into our cars as opposed to the food that we put into our bodies. So I started, looking at that a lot more. And since then, I really don't get sick as often. I went from getting sick every 3 or 4 months to maybe sick once a year, maybe twice a year, if that. So yeah, I definitely know, and I have more energy. I'm definitely feeling that, and overall, I just feel better.
Okay, and caller on the line here, Seth. Welcome to the program again, buddy. How you doing?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. I like your guest today. I was just going to ask him a couple of questions. I'm absolutely terrible at growing things. I recently moved into a house.
Seth, we can't hear you very well, buddy. Can you speak up?
Yeah, is that any better?
That's a little bit better, yep.
All right. I'm really bad at growing things. Like, I've had very little success. Haven't tried a whole lot, honestly. But I just recently moved into a place that has, three-foot square little garden plot. And I was wondering if you could just give me a couple of ideas, something that's easy to grow and, like, high in nutrition, whatnot, that would go, and then I'll take my answer and your suggestions off the air. I was just curious about that.
I think the best and easiest things to grow are greens, various kinds of lettuces or spinach or kale or chards. I always say those because, first of all, you know how to use them, you know what to do with them, and they're relatively easy. They're easy to grow, in any kind of in nearly all conditions, and you can kind of get the most bang for your buck in terms of, packing them in there pretty tightly. So pretty much like on my balcony right now, I have containers. I have about 10 containers, and pretty much it's just all various kinds of greens, some different kinds of lettuces, some Asian greens, some romaine lettuce, some butterhead lettuce, Swiss chard containers out there. Just all various kinds of greens because those are pretty. That's probably what a lot of people are deficient in, or not eating a lot of greens. So it's an easy, quick, simple way to get them, and they're easy, pretty easy to grow as well.
Awesome. What about sweet potatoes or
beans? So I've never personally grown sweet potatoes before, but I do know that something like sweet potatoes, they're more vining. So they're going to take up a little bit more space, and they're also a little bit more. They're likely to be a little bit more difficult to grow because there's the pollination, and then there's taking care of the vines as well. So you can anything's possible. But in terms of simplicity, like I said, lettuce and greens are simple and easy.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you. Good luck. And keep me updated.
Yeah, I will. I will. I'm going to check out your website when I get off work today.
Cool. Appreciate it, bro.
Thanks, Vinny. Great show, man.
All right. Cheers, bro. You have yourself a fabulous day there, Seth. And speaking about this this whole thing, it's amazing how much food you can grow in a very, very small space. Have you heard of the food forest idea, Mike?
I've heard, yes. I've heard of different concepts of it, absolutely.
Can you explain a little bit about what you know about that?
In terms of one concept that I'm familiar with is, I believe it's called forest gardening. I believe the concept behind that is when you look at a forest, if you look at the edge of the forest, that's where there's the most diversity of species and most, pretty much the most diversity of species, and that's where a lot of the major growth is done. So forest gardening is something trying to emulate that in some, in your backyard or wherever it may be. And the way that I don't remember exactly, but something like there's seven layers within that little garden space, and they all help and interact with each other. Like one layer provides shade to another layer, which helps to protect the other layers from the pests. So they all work symbiotically, like they do in nature, to help each other thrive and to grow. So that's one technique that I don't have experience with, but I've heard about, again, for forest gardening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I heard this discovered this, people in Thailand, I think it was, who'd had this patch of land in their family for passed down through the generations, something like 300 years. And every plant in this little forest that they've got is edible. And it all works via companion planting to support each other and to just keep producing food at a constant rate. And as a result, you don't have to do any planting. You don't have to do all of that kind of crazy stuff that is basically involved in the whole setup of farming and then harvesting and all that kind of stuff. It's just more like the plants take care of each other. They take care of themselves. And you just come and grab what you need to eat every day.
Sounds like something I could definitely get down with.
Yeah. Imagine an urban food jungle. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My special guest is Mike Lieberman. Call in over this break here, 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525 with your questions for Mike. We'll be right back.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution. Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Listen to the Ron Paul Revolution Radio Show with Rossi and Brocky. Join the revolution on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, and only on American Freedom Radio.
Some kind of way out of here. Say that joker to the thief.
Welcome back.
There's too much confusion.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
I can't get no relief.
The show that's all about confusion and relief. And speaking of hand relief, Mike is going to be going through the loving arms of the TSA in the very near future. But before we get on to that and continue on with the sexiest 2 hours in talk radio, I want to read out something that one of our people in the chat room talked about. Said, I'm about to qualify as a nutritionist, and most of the stuff they get taught about nutrition in med school is just biochem anyway. It's not food as medicine. There's no real focus on organics. It's all the standard nonsense like low fat is good, fat is bad, canola oil is good, GMO is good, microwaves are safe. And after 3 years of full-time nutrition study, I feel like I've barely touched the tip of the iceberg. That's the major drawback when you're trying to educate the educated, is that they think that they're already more educated than you and you can't help them to learn anything. That is the dumbest group of people on frickin' planet Earth, in my opinion. Those who are educated so much to think that they know everything. The man who thinks he knows everything obviously knows nothing. And the man who thinks that he knows nothing probably knows enough. Mike Lieberman, we had caller just before talking about having a little 3 meter squared back garden. What do you say to all those people who have like just basically a very, very small space and they're like, oh, that's not worth planting on? What would you say to those people?
I say it's totally worth planting on. It's, you know, every little bit counts. You know, your one specific garden or plant, whatever it is that you're growing, that in and of itself is not going to make a huge difference. But what will make a difference is if I do it, and you do it, and your friend does it, and your friend's friend does it, that 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 equals a lot effect, that's what's going to make the difference. So everybody doing something is better than no one doing nothing.
Yep, and it's better to have 50% of something than 100% of nothing. Speaking of holding on to that extra 50%, pickling, preservation, things of that nature. Have you been getting into that at all?
Starting to a little bit. Most of the preservation that I'm doing is I have a dehydrator, so I'm doing a little bit of dehydrating. I haven't gotten that much into the fermenting, pickling, canning, though that's something I'm definitely highly, highly interested in starting to refine and get in dabbling in that world as well.
See, now, and once you know more about fermenting, then you can start growing hops and barley on your fire escape.
I actually do know a couple of people that, you know, that fermented that and make their own beer.
And the stuff that they grow themselves, though?
But that, I'm not sure if they're that hardcore about it. It's a good question.
Well, I'm sure the alcohol is the main point to it, not the growing of food. Now, heirloom seeds. What are heirloom seeds? Do you know about this?
Heirloom seeds are seeds that have been around, I believe it's for 50 plus years. I believe it is. So it's a specific species that's been around for, you know, that's been harvested, and I'm pretty sure it's been around for 50. It might be a little bit longer than that, but, you know, it's been around for a long time. You know, especially now, you know, it's become more important because of, you know, the hybridization and the genetically modified seeds, and, you know, getting these seeds that have been around for, you know, for years, you know, not more than decades, that have been around forever, you know, keeping those varieties alive and thriving.
Yeah. Well, they seem to be becoming. Are they becoming more rare, or something of that nature? Like, are they cryptic? Are they hard to find? Because when you talk about specifics of gardening, bear in mind, of course, there's a lot of people out there who just don't know how to garden. They don't know any of the background on it, or any of the backstory, and I probably include myself in that.
Yeah, I don't think they're necessarily difficult to find. You know, most of them that are heirlooms are indeed labeled heirloom seeds. Just kind of like when you're buying food or you're buying anything else, you know, you got to get yourself from trusted sources. This, you know, the company that we keep talking about, like Monsanto, they've bought up a lot of the smaller seed companies and still use that seed company's name, but it's helping to fund them. You know, them being, you know, Monsanto, and I believe Seminis is the smaller division of their seed company, something along those lines. So there are seed companies that are, you know, were traditionally mom-and-pop seed companies for the past, you know, 50, 60 years, whatever it is, but now they were bought out by Monsanto, still going under, mom-and-pop brand, but it's actually helping to bankroll and fund Monsanto. So, kind of like everything else, you know, got to know your sources and where things are coming from.
That's the real frustrating thing about that whole system, is that they own so many of the things that you think would be against them. They turn their competition into controlled opposition, essentially. They actively go out and try and purchase the brands and the labels and the loyalties of their customers, because they ultimately have nothing behind them but pesticides.
Yeah, pretty much, and it just, you know, and people are going to keep, out of loyalty, and keep buying those brands, and keep buying that, you know, keep buying those labels, and you know, they're helping to bankroll Monsanto.
Fucking heck! What I find the funniest thing is Monsanto's insect-resistant seeds. The plant produces its own pesticide, so the bugs don't want to eat it. and then they harvest it and serve it to you.
And call it healthy.
It's fruit, it's vegetables, you know, they're going to be good for you. What? The insanity of it. Did you ever hear about the massive winds that were blowing all these GMO seeds and stuff way down Texas and all the way down into Mexico, and they've now got these sort of mutant corn crops growing with like five cobs coming out of the one stem or something? It's just absolutely really weird. Giant. Really freaky, like you're in the like freaking King Kong movie.
I haven't heard of the mutant corn, but I have heard of, you know, the mutant weeds and the super weeds that are being that are starting to produce because of all the pesticide use, which is, you know, scary as well. Because then, what do you need to get rid of those weeds? Obviously, you need more pesticides, so you need more sprays, and it just, you know, starts getting on a whole horrible slippery slope.
Because then by the end of it, you'll have stuff that's so toxic in order to kill those weeds that they also wind up killing everything else in the area too.
Pretty much.
Getting into the groundwater, goodness knows.
And then we wind up eating it.
See, you can't look at the situation of food and be happy about it. There's a great film that's just come out called Food Matters. And you can watch this online, ladies and gentlemen, if you just Google Food Matters. And they talk about this, how the medical industry, the food industry, the anything that you can conceivably name that has something to do with your health industry has all been corrupted. And people are in a very nasty bind right now. Family farms are closing down like there's no freaking tomorrow because the massive agribusiness has formed basically a cartel co-op aggregate, if you'll excuse the pun, and they are now forcing all the local farmers out of the major markets by artificially keeping their prices low, using these massive production capabilities that they now have to flood the market with cheap food. And of course they get massive subsidies from the US government as well as having the largest farms and what have you. And it just drives the local farmer out of business, because when people in the local town where that farmer used to sell his produce, they're now kicking out all the local greengrocers because they can't compete with the local supermarket, which gets all of its food imported from across the country or even across the world, and you're taking the local out of your local town, more or less. You're getting people further away from their food, and they don't have to budge an inch.
And there's an interesting documentary that I watched recently. It's a, little, you know, it's a couple of years old now, called King Corn. And it just it kind of, you know, it touches on that a little bit. These guys, they grow just 1 acre of corn in, I believe it was Iowa. It's kind of like the Corn Belt where a lot of the corn in this country is grown. And they actually, they grew the corn at a loss. But because of the subsidies that the government gives for growing corn, they made money. So pretty much, you know, the government is paying farmers to grow corn. And something like 30% goes towards gas, another 30% goes towards feeding animals. It's, I mean, more than half of it isn't even for human consumption.
And that pushes up the food prices all over the place, doesn't it?
Doesn't help with them.
Because, well, think about this. The food prices have, what, literally doubled over the last year or two?
They've definitely gone up a lot.
A very, very significant amount, to the least. Now, how could that happen if all of the food that's being grown is subsidized? There's the biofuels that are being done, right? Food that could be going in people's bellies are instead being melted down and fermented and used for fuel, which is a terribly inefficient way of doing it. Because as a direct result of that kind of stuff, we've had massive increases in food prices because there's just not enough food to go around as there was before. There's still plenty of petrol out there. There's still plenty of ways to fuel your car. But now a great idea, instead of using, I don't know, a little bit of oil or what have you to fill up your car. And I don't agree with the oil company cartels or any, mind you. I'm not bigging them up or anything. But the alternative that they put out as the thing that's going to save us all will actually be the thing that's going to starve us all.
And the corn that they're growing, it's not even, it's the corn isn't edible corn. It's not, you know, so it's not even, so it's not even, it is corn, yes, but it's not corn that is going through, that, you know, that's edible. It's not, it doesn't taste good. It's grown for all of these other reasons.
Yeah, yeah. And again, what would be the purpose in that if you're just growing it for one specific reason and instead of growing food that people can eat? You know, exactly. Like Lord Monckton, the thing that he says all the time is that there are people in Haiti who have mud pies for lunch, made with real mud and a bit of margarine. And they used to be 3 cents per mud pie, and now they're 6 cents. You know, literally a doubling of world food prices, so that the people who are used to eating mud pies with real mud can't even eat that.
It's insane what's going on. Most of the crops that are grown are, you know, what is it? Corn, wheat, soy. It's the genetically modified crops, and they're not even grown for human consumption.
Yeah, yeah. And going back to the subjects of super weeds, would you advocate that people smoke it?
Depending upon the weed and depending upon how you feel, and possibly.
Yeah, yeah. See, I've been wondering about that myself because when you come down to it, have a look at the uses of the cannabis plant, and there was even a community in northern Australia, I believe it was near Darwin, some years ago, in fact, might have been in the 70s, I believe, they survived a very long drought by eating hemp seeds. Yeah, extremely strong, high in the... What was it called? Omega acids and amino vitamins and all of that kind of stuff. Real good for you. Allegedly the best superfood on Earth. And you can survive a freaking drought with it. And so, naturally, it gets made illegal.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure in the United States it's illegal to grow hemp seeds. I believe most of the hemp seed sources that we get in this country from those companies, I believe that most of them are from Canada, the ones we get in the States.
Yeah. And we have a caller on the line. It's the Greek. Sorry, mate, we had you there for about 4 minutes. We'll be going to break soon, but you'll be able to spit out something, and then we'll bring you back afterwards as well, mate.
All right. Thanks for having me again, Vinny. And kudos to the guest. I just, I'm impressed. I'm also being a former Brooklynite, now living in the deserts of Arizona. I wanted to share a few things that I found out that work really well with growing veg. I've been growing my own veg now for 10 years and using it for bartering for milk and butter and other things at the farmer's market. And the things I wanted to share were basically two things that anyone and everyone can do that's trying to grow their own crops of any sort. The first thing is avoid any kind of an iron tool in the soil. Use copper tools, or if you can't get copper or make copper tools, use plastic, but avoid iron spades, shovels, rakes, and spoons. I could explain why. And the other thing is add a little bit of your natural compost to a pot of water and vortex it. You know, spin it with a wooden ladle to the right till a vortex forms, and spin it to the left.
All right, well, we'll talk about more of this after the break on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkey Light LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio. Live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky.
Welcome
back.
Black
sunrise, always gonna be a surprise. Cause we don't
to the show that's all about iron deficiencies, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And speaking of the Iron Age, we have the Greek on the line. Greek, welcome back. You're talking about a vortex and making sure that there ain't no iron. In fact, stir in that vortex up in a bucket before you water your plants, right?
Yeah. In short, well, you can, well, separate. Let's look at them as two separate things. The first thing is avoid putting any iron tools in your soil. And maybe if you're gardening in a small plot or in your on your balcony or fire escape, avoid using iron tools or iron wire or iron pots. You see, what do you call a mixture of mineral and metal and water and salt? That's basically what what soil is. And a mixture like that, you can actually call it a battery. It actually has an electrical charge to it. And when you introduce iron, it discharges that electricity. It's very subtle that the plants actually feed on. Copper and brass alloys actually enhance that charge. And this is not a theory. I've been practicing this now for 10 years, and you get anywhere between 10 to 40% yield in crop and the decrease of any kind of parasite or pathogen as well. There's no mold that forms, and you have fewer of the bad bugs as well. So I just wanted to share this on the airwaves because I've never really heard it on anything, any show or any place mentioned, and it's so simple to do. So
that is pretty amazing. What do you think about that, Mark?
That definitely sounds interesting. I have to look at the tools. I really don't use that many tools. I do have a couple out there. I got to look and see what they are now. That's definitely something. Obviously, with those kinds of results, worth taking into consideration.
Yeah, it's so simple, and I can tell you the source of the information was post-World War II, the German industry was shut down, and some foresters that had this ancient knowledge said, look, in order for us to survive, why don't we get rid of all the iron tools and tractors and go back to the bronze plow and brass tools, and they thrived, and when the government saw that they were doing so well with the brass tools and weren't buying the government-subsidized Marshall Plan fertilizers, they outlawed the bronze plows. From 1949 until 1972, it was illegal to have a bronze plow in Germany.
That's very strange.
Yeah, you could look it up, and it was just put in the copper tools. Now, the other thing is that I've done tests with is the quality of the water. In nature, water always wants to move in a vortex, like in your bathtub or wherever. It always forms a self-organizing flow. And when that happens, it's nature's way of digesting what's in the water. And I found that having a bucket, a plastic or terracotta, preferably egg-shaped, but they're very hard to get. Just put some water in there, whether it's a quart, a gallon, or several gallons, and then just take a pinch of some of your, organic compost, and hopefully if you're more advanced in the gardening, you're also doing some composting, and just put a pinch of that in there with some very fine filings of zinc or brass, and go ahead and spin it with a wooden ladle to the right till you see a vortex form. Then when it stops, go ahead and spin it to the left. Let it sit overnight in the dark. And then you don't have to use the entirety of that water to water your plants, but just go ahead and ladle that water over your plants and do a double-blind test on this, and you will see that there's a certain shimmer to the leaves and a vitality to the plant, and the crop is also much tastier, and again, it helps repel pathogens. Now, this sounds like, some kind of like little magic hocus-pocus thing, but I've got the science behind it, and I've been doing it now for 10 years, and you can see a difference. And the reason why I called in Vin is because these things are so easy to do that anyone can implement them at no cost. And I think that was one of the things that the guest mentioned, is that it's really cheap if you know what you're doing. The cost, throwing money at a problem doesn't solve it. It's doing the right thing for nothing, for no cost at all, is really where it's at.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And where would you get, would you say throw in zinc shavings or the other ones?
Yeah, okay, so let's say you have a small garden and you're ready to water it. Now, let's say you typically water it through a hose. Okay, well, that's fine too. Take a small bucket aside, a gallon or 2 gallon or 5 gallon, and put some water in there. Filtered water would be best. And put just a pinch of compost, your best compost, and just a little bit of brass filings or, copper and zinc would be best, and the government's providing the copper and zinc through the pennies, right? Because a penny is made mostly zinc with a copper coating on it, so you just get a penny, what they call a U.S. penny, or a dime. The dime is the opposite. Zinc's on the outside, copper's on the inside. And just have a small nail file, even those inexpensive nail files, and just make some filings in the water. And if you want to monitor how much you're putting in, just do it over a white sheet of paper, and when you see like the amount of salt or pepper you would sprinkle on your plate, just that much, like milligrams of it. It's not the quantity, it's that it's present in the water.
And then just go ahead. Do you remember that I said during the show that if you want to do anything good, it'll soon be made illegal? Isn't it illegal to destroy currency?
Well, okay, well then, why don't you go to the bank and ask them you want to buy a penny or something, pennies worth of copper, I don't know. I mean, well, I'm not advocating you do that. I'm just saying that it's, you know, a common source of material. But you can get copper from a hardware store, right? But it's good to throw the bipolar metals, like copper and zinc are bipolar. So it's, let's say, copper and aluminum, but I don't recommend using aluminum. I don't think it's a good metal to have in food. So you can just get some, you can even do a pinch of Epsom salt in there, which is magnesium sulfate. That's a bimetal. But any kind of bimetal thing, if you got some old jewelry, you know, a little bit of silver and gold would be even better. And I'm talking that this is almost homeopathic in nature. The less metal you put in sometimes, the more potent the water becomes. So once you make this mixture, spin it to the right aggressively with a wooden ladle. You'll see a vortex form. And when the vortex stops spinning, and it's interesting, once you get the vortex going, it could actually spin on its own for 5 or 10 minutes. And then spin it the other way, counterclockwise, and just cover it, put it in a dark, cool place, and then use it the next day. And you could just ladle it over your crops, whether they're in pots or in above ground or in the ground. This is more like a tincture than the actual watering. And it's very important that you do this in the springtime when you have seeds. I've gotten Armenian cucumbers where each plant, they grow about 6 feet tall. They're, the base of the plant's about the thickness of your thumb, was producing 30 to 40 cucumbers a week. And the ones that did not receive this treatment were producing anywhere between, I don't know, 5 or 10. So certain plants will react. Certain tomatoes that I've done don't care whether you do it or not. But certain plants do react to it and others don't. So it's worth a try because it really doesn't cost anything.
Well, and this brings up an important point. How many types of metals and other elements and additives and things of that nature is actually required for healthy soil? You know, maybe like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 different things, you know, your manganese, your zinc, your copper and iron and all of this other stuff needs to be in the soil. And what does the big phosphate of fertilizing industry recommend? Just two or three elements, and now none of the food has any nutrition in it left.
Well, see, Vinny, the soil, if you leave it alone, it will actually produce the elements that you need. Just like a river, if you've got a mucked-up river because you're dumping waste into it, if you stop dumping waste and you don't change the way the river flows, within one season, a few months, the river will be pristine again. In other words, it's self-organizing, just like your body. If you... your body actually produces potassium, like Louis Kervan has proved that. It takes sodium and turns it into potassium. If you take a chicken and give it a diet devoid of calcium, it will still produce a robust egg full of calcium because the chicken actually converts the magnesium into calcium in its body. And of course, they teach you that elements cannot be produced that way, but that's ridiculous. The elements are ephemeral and not empirical. They're manufactured in organic organisms. And the soil will, if you're not mucking it up with the chemicals, it will actually take trace elements of copper and zinc that you are using in the tools and adding to the water and convert that into small amounts of potassium, magnesium, and humic acids and lignites and other things that are necessary.
All right. Well, that seems to be the best thing to do, don't you think? Finding out the very simple solutions that actually work and freaking use them, and more to the point, the natural processes of the earth are far smarter than the average person, I'd say, and they know how to take care of themselves. The problem is that for some reason, these globalists and global warming mongers and whatever think that people are the problem and that everybody should just basically get exterminated in order to save the earth.
Well, you know, I think being passive and apathetic to their cause is probably the best way of fighting it back, you know. If you've got a giant dragon or a preacher that comes into your town and every day and takes someone for dinner, and you try to fight it and you can't kill it, well, the best way to do it is through apathy, where we make sure every time it shows up, it doesn't get anyone to eat, right? Then eventually it'll just go somewhere else, and if they do the same thing there, it'll starve to death, won't it?
Well, see, the other side of it is if everybody just, you know, follows the dragon home into its own lair where it thinks it's safe and waits till it's asleep before they strike. In fact, a friend of mine, you'll like this, Greg, and Mike, I'm sorry, we're at the end of the show now, so I want to thank you very much for participating. It's been pretty awesome, bro.
No problem. Thank you. It's been great.
Yeah, and check out his YouTube page as well, Facebook page, facebook.com/ Urban Organic Gardener. A friend of mine was turning up to a global warming protest with a sign that says global warming is a UN tax scam. And you would be surprised, probably not surprised actually, just how many of the climate cultists assaulted him. It goes to show you that these peace-loving hippies are just basically the new Nazis. That's right. Green is the new red. And we'll see you again sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks Greg, and thanks Mike, and have yourself a fabulous day.